Well, it's been a while since I've heard you guys talk to me about something very special to you, about, well, who you are. Why don't we do that today? I am the I am, okay? I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do, and I have God's favor in my life. Y en español, yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer, y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Man, you guys are good at that. Give yourselves a hand. We've been doing that for a long time, haven't we?
About 9 years.
9 years. Would you call that a victory, Steffi? You know, speaking of victories, David was victory-minded. And that started at a ruddy young age when he killed Goliath. He had a mindset, and I suppose you would too, if you had been a kid. Was he about 13 years old? And he went out and he killed a giant. And you're probably thinking, giants, really? Yeah, really. They had giants in those days. Bad giants. Big giants. Huge. So big, they had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot. You know, they were everywhere. They were all over the place. And they were fearsome. Well, we talked about giants quite a ways back. And it's very interesting. Well, I'm not going to get into giants today, but the victories that not only David had, his men had, but also we're supposed to have. Victories. And when you think about those giants and you think about killing one, I don't know if you can. I don't know if you could put it in a perspective to be this guy, your size, and you go kill something 3 times taller than you, 2 times taller than you, huge, enormous, not just tall, but the girth, the width, the thickness, all of it. And he's coming at you, or maybe 10 or 15 are coming at you. How are you going to kill him? You know, the movies today are really something. They show a good guy killing one bad guy. And maybe they'll have 3 guys that the good guy kicks and knocks down or something like that. But you don't see what happened in the Bible. You don't see any of that ever depicted in movies. And I think David's mindset was nothing but victory. He had something taught to him that if he had a smooth stone, you know, those out of those 5 that he picked up from the Brook Kedron, and a slingshot, he could take one of those big old guys down. David had a mighty mindset. There are things that happen in your life that give you your mindsets, whether you like them or not. And some of them I'm sure you don't like. I've got mindsets I do like and mindsets I don't like. And it's because of events that took place in my life. And spiritually speaking, I've got a lot of really awesome mindsets. Mindsets that have formed my life spiritually and allowed me to do the things that I do today. I'm sure you do too. Well, David had a mighty mindset. And you know that he killed Goliath. I'd like you to turn to 2 Samuel 21. I'm going to read a few verses to you that should capture your attention and inspire you. When you think of what David's mighty mindset could have been, what do you think? Do you think strength? Do you think prowess? Do you think agility? What do you think? Do you think size, bulk, massive muscles, speed, endurance? What do you think? What was his mindset? There were so many things that took place for David after that. I don't think they could have taken place unless he had a mighty mindset. Well, let's read this real quick in 2 Samuel 21, verse 15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. This was getting toward the end of his life. David was a man of war. He was not granted peace. He had to fight. That's the way it was. And there's a whole history behind that. But he was never given peace. It wasn't until Samuel came along and then Solomon that peace could happen. See, that was one of the reasons that David couldn't build the temple. Oh, he wanted to. But God said, sorry, you can't because you're a man of war. Well, verse 16, and Ish-bi-benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass. I think we're talking enormous. A shekel, a coin, and 300 of those. Have you ever picked up a bunch of coins? We're not talking quarters. 300 shekels of brass. He, being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. Because David, he waxed, what did it say? Waxed faint. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, these names are really something, Zeruiah, succored him, took care of him, and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. You're going to get killed. They were taking care of him. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibbecai, the Hushathite, slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. And there was again a battle in Gob, and the Philistines, where Elhanah, the son of Jeereor again, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. That's huge. They used for when they were weaving, and you know it was like a machine thing they had. It was big. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes, 4 and 20 in number. You know, when you talk to most Christians about giants, they scoff at it. They don't believe it. They think that, no, that can't be true. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible's full of what we call fantasy. Six fingers, six toes. You know, they say that that's why the Indians would always go how and lift up their hand, because they wanted to count to see if it was either five or six. Yeah, because the giants assimilated themselves into society, so to speak, and man pretty much rooted them out and got rid of them. And there's reason for that, because of their origin, the devilish origin of them. Well, and he also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. These four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. When you think about the hand of his servants, doesn't really conjure up much, does it? Servants? Oh, you mean the guy that's in the kitchen making the bread and the maid that's making the bed and somebody over there getting the spider cobwebs out of the corner of the palace again, because there's always spiders in palaces. They get to go everywhere. What do you think when you see of those servants? Well, do you know that God has already given us the victory in Christ Jesus? And it's up to us to lay claim on what is already ours. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. What do you think when you think of giants? What do you think when you think of men killing giants? Does your mind go to sleep and you go, ah, whatever? Or do you start to fantasize about it and imagine it? What would you do if you came up to somebody that had six fingers and six toes and stood towering over you by at least as tall as you were? They were all over the place, too. They were down in Egypt. I mean, they were everywhere. Gosh, that's a great thing to look at in the Bible. Well, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? This is coming out of Hosea. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our victory is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. It says, which giveth us the victory. God is always giving us victories. The greatest victory that we will ever receive on this earth, or in conjunction with this earth, is victory over death. But there's a lot of little victories we can get along the way. Well, turn to 2 Samuel. Now, what I've done is I've tried to lay a little bit of a foundation for what I want to teach. I've tried to open up your thinking to parts of David, parts of us as Christians, all in light of victories. I mentioned mindsets. I've mentioned, well, I've tried to get you to imagine things, to stretch your mind a little bit this morning, and to show you that there's some remarkable things in the Bible if you're open to them. And I want to focus on Old Testament victories. What is it that David had along with him in light of those servants? Remember I said, what are those servants? Were they like the guy that makes the bread in the kitchen? The maid that's making the bed? Somebody else getting the spiders off the corner up there in the palace? What is it that formed after David killed Goliath? What is it after a mindset was created in David because of that experience? Well, one would be expectation. Expectation of mightiness. That's why I said David had a mighty mindset. I don't mean it was just huge. I mean his mindset was focused on might. And we see some of this in 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel 23, verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Abino, the Esnite. He lift up his spear against, gosh, there must be a typo. There must be a typo. 800 whom he slew at one time? How does that happen? It's beyond our comprehension. Or is it? What is it you think about when you think of might? What kind of mindset do you think David really had? I call it a mighty mindset. And it started as a kid. Man, he was tending sheep and slewing bears and lions and all kinds of stuff out there with his bare hands. Don't be so stuck in your life and those alive around you that you're not able to morph into the Word a little bit and allow the Word to morph into you. Because these things really did happen. Well, maybe you're at the place, like right now, that you're thinking, what kind of mindset should I have? Or is David the only one in the Bible allowed to have a mighty mindset? What should I have? Is that even available? What do you think? Do you think it's available for you to have a mighty mindset? Or is it a little too early for me to bring that up yet? I'm telling you, though, you're going to have to go there eventually. And you're going to have to answer the question, just how far do you want to go? How mighty do you want your mindset to be? How willing are you to detach yourself from the lies of those about you, those of whom form who you are? If you take the five people you associate with the most, they are the ones that you've become. You've got to be selective. If you don't have five influential people positively influential people in your life that you associate with closely, your mindset is never going to become mighty. You've got to have mighty people. So I'm calling mighty, highly influential, and all that. Just kind of stepping you into this just a hair. "800 whom he slew at one time." It says, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had." I list a couple. You know how many there were? This is just one of them. You got to think about this for a second. If you are sitting in your living room watching TV and your servants come in, what kind of people are they? Well, the guy that makes the bread in the kitchen's very nice. The maid that makes the bed, she's wonderful. She does such a good job making that bed. And you know, I haven't seen a spider for months. So you're sitting there watching TV and, you know, the bread maker walks by. "Oh, that bread smells good." And he disappears in the kitchen. The maid walks from the laundry with her arms holding sheets, and she's back down the hallway. And there goes that girl. She's got that broom beating the corners of the walls, getting those spiders, and she was just outside, and she got a bunch out there, too. Are those your servants? What if a guy walked in? You know, the guy that had killed 800 men at one time? What if he walked in? What would you do? Would you still be sitting there? What would you do? That was just one of them. What would you do? Would you still just sit there? If a mighty man walked into your life, what would you do? Would you just sit there? What would happen to your mindset? What had already happened to your mindset to have allowed a mighty man to walk into your palace? What? Something had to happen, because a mighty man's not just going to walk in. Somebody that had killed 800 men at one time, he's not just going to walk in while you're sitting there watching TV. Something's got to be going on. Well, how mighty do you want your mindset to be? Where do you really think you can go with God? What do you really think you can do with His Word? Do you think that the life that you have today is all that there is? Do you think that the five people who surround you pretty much on a daily basis are really what you need to become mighty? Well, who was David surrounded by? Well, we should probably read a little bit more. I asked you, I don't know if you remember, but I asked you, I said, how many people, or how many mighty men do you think were there? Well, the closest count, and it's not exactly accurate, mid-30s. 35, 37, somewhere in there. And there were three who were really close to him. I don't know. I'm kind of glad if I have one person in my life. Just one person in my life. Not a mighty man, just one person in my life. Not the cashier, Tom Thumb, although she's very nice. They're very nice. Gosh, you just got to think about it. Mighty men. Well over 30. And that was just the beginning of David's life. That's what carried him through as well. Verse 9, and after him, Eleazar, the son of Dodo, a Hohite, one of the three mighty men with David. He had three that were close. I mean, really close. When they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. The men of Israel had left. And so it was just up to these guys to protect the place. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword still. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. No, they weren't rotten. They came to get the goods from the Philistines. The Lord wrought a great victory. There is no way that a mighty mindset will do you any good without the Lord's victories. It's all coupled together. And so that's what David had. David knew that it was God's strength behind those five smooth stones and the death of Goliath. Now, David was strong. David was mighty. If you're just sitting there watching TV, and that's all you do, more than likely you don't have mighty people in your life. Because that is really not an exploit, if you think about it, right? Might. What do you think David was really like? He had to have been mighty. He had to have wanted to achieve greatness. He had to have strived to encircle himself with his dreams. Mighty men. But he also had to include God, because it's the Lord who works the mighty works with the might of man. I guess God could have done it a different way, and he did many times. The walls of Jericho, pots clanging, shouting. He did with pitchers and other things, scaring the enemy, and they run off into the wilderness. Oh, he did plenty of things that didn't require any strength. But David was a prototype. Let's not forget that. A prototype of Jesus Christ. And a prototype of that which still is to come. And God has a very unique view on might and on service and on what it takes to accomplish His wonders. Well, let's look at more of this then. So we read verse 9 and we read verse 10, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And verse 11, we find the third of the mighty men. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. Now, if you read it in Chronicles, it says barley. So they have barley and lentils. So they don't contradict. There's just a lot of food there. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he, Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite, stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. He stood in the midst of the barley and the lentils, and everybody else took off. He was by himself. And all these, we don't know what a troop is, how many there were, but there were a lot, enough to make all the people flee. That's a lot. And defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Isn't that fantastic? These were the three mighty men. Ishbaal, the Tachmonite, that means thou will make me wise. Eleazar, God has helped. Son of Dodo, the beloved, his beloved. And the Ahohite, meaning brother of rest, and Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. Those are the three. In 1 Chronicles, chapter 11, we find a parallel record of sorts. 1 Chronicles, chapter 11, verse 10. From what we've seen, there is, well, I suppose, almost requirement that is attached to might, and that would be physical development. There's no way that you're going to go kill 800 men and not be strong, or 300, or a troop. Well, there's a little bit more to it. Verse 10. These also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom. They strengthen themselves with David. They strengthened themselves. They made themselves strong. That's what these guys did. I think today's gyms are a flimsy excuse for strength building. But that's all we have. And yet people come up with new things, mostly dealing with cardio, but it's never going to get you to the place where you could kill 800 men. Let's be honest. Or 300.
Wow.
Or a troop. A troop so big that it makes everybody in the city flee. But these chief of the mighty men whom David had strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all Israel. They were well known. And their strengthening processes were also well known. They were the ones who kept the devil out. Now there's a unique connection with strength, spirituality, and the Lord wrought victories. Very unique connection. I think you're seeing it, at least with these guys. Don't look for it today. It pretty much doesn't exist. I mean, we can't even find good food to eat, much less air to breathe, much less time to do whatever it would take to become like this. No, I'm not advocating that we become like this. But I'm suggesting a way to alter your mindset. I'm suggesting an alternative lifestyle that could benefit you significantly if you had the heart for it. And then it says to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. If these mighty men had not existed, David would not have grown to his stature. That was the way God had to do it. These men had to have a commitment to be strong, to be mighty. But they also had to recognize that it was the Lord writing the victories. And that's the way it has to be with you. I want you to be strong. I don't want you to be weak. And I regret just as much as you do of what has befallen our generation in terms of food, in terms of air, in terms of longevity, in terms of stressors. But yet, I still think that God can give us the upper hand. That's His business. He can do it with a pitcher, a candle, a scream, a sword, anything. It's His business. Verse 11, and this is the number of the mighty men whom David had. Jashobeam and Hachmonite, the chief of the captains, lifted up his spear against 300 slain by him at one time. That's just amazing. I mean, have you ever imagined yourself in karate practice finally being able to take down that one guy? 300 at one time? Don't even go down the road to 800. Wow. And the second one is Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, who was one of the three mighties. Oh, I just love that. The three mighties. The three mighties. I know some of the others wanted to be one of the three mighties, but they couldn't. There was only three of them, and they were special. He was with David at Pass Damim, and there the Philistines were gathered together to battle, where was a parcel of ground full of barley. There's the barley. And the people fled from before the Philistines. And they set themselves in the midst of that parcel and delivered it and slew the Philistines. And that was Eleazar. They changed the way they wrote it. And then the Lord saved them by a great deliverance. 1 Chronicles 29. Well, I trust that this has exposed your mind to the Old Testament victories. I love going into things about David. And I thought that this would be really neat too, to read David's mindset, his blessings. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." Now that was part of David's mindset. Let it become part of your mindset to where you expect victories. And base those things on the word, on the exploits that are already recorded. And don't think they can't happen to you. But you got to have a victory mindset. You can't have a couch potato attitude. You've got to surround yourself with greatness. You've got to feed yourself with great things. And that's how you begin to become great. Oh, there's two other ingredients. One is your willingness, and two, the presence of God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. We've been promised victory. And we already read it. I'm going to read it again. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've already been given the victory. Yes, over death, but every other thing. In 1 John chapter 5, so David had a mighty mindset. Maybe you could have a victorious mindset. And maybe you could start tapping into new victories today. You don't have to go to the gym to do it, but you can if you want. You can develop yourself as it works in your heart. But you can start having victories today because you've been given them. They are yours for the taking. You can sit in the living room and watch the baker go by, the maid with her arms teeming with sheets, walking from the laundry back down the hallway, or the spider woman batting those little things out of the corners of the house, your palace, or you could be visited by a mighty man. You've got Christ in you. You've got the word in your mind. You have the occasion now, life itself, for your victories to transpire. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, we read, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world." You know, somebody recently told me something that changed my life. It just changed it. And I asked, when you have challenging situations, ones that really bother you, ones that, well, kind of take you down, what do you do? How do you deal with them? Because it looks like you don't have any problems. What do you do? And it took about 5 minutes for this person to answer me. We talked about many things between the question and the answer. Then all of a sudden the answer came. Faith. That was it. Faith. I said, what do you mean? Faith. Faith, or believing, that God will just keep working with me, keep helping me, never reject me, always be there for me. Faith. That was it. It was one word. That's our victory. There's nothing more to it than that. It's one word. Faith. Instead of beating yourself up and being your own worst enemy, just have faith. What does that mean? It means that God's always there for you. He'll never leave you. He'll never reject you, no matter what you do. He'll never run away from you. He'll stand there in the barley and the lentils and slay them all. What do you want? Well, in verse 5 it says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Folks, I think you've got the stage set. I think it's time for your mindset to be created, for you to have a victorious mindset. Surround yourself with mighty men, servants of renown, who will aid and assist you and build your kingdom. Because David could never have built that kingdom by himself. They kept building the kingdom even after David couldn't fight. Even after his strength had waned. Oh, they were still there. There was nothing stopping those men. And those people with whom you associate should have the same kind of attitude. Might and spirituality. You don't want weak people in your life. If that's all you've got around you, you're making a big mistake. You'll never be victorious. But if you want to be victorious in every situation, and you can be, and should be, surround yourself with might. Surround yourself with spirituality. And don't think for a minute that the life that the world offers you is right. Don't think for a minute that it will surpass the mighty mindset of David or the victorious mindset that you have been endowed to receive. We have the right to claim victory in every situation. Every situation. I don't care what it is. Practice claiming your victory through Jesus Christ, each and every time you are confronted with darkness, enlist the promise. A quick, short prayer will satisfy nicely. Dear Father, I appreciate a little victory right now. Thank you for the victory in this situation, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, sir. Amen.